Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. John Suntress here. Quick show note before we get into today's guest. You'll notice that on the feed right now, we've got some commercials happening before the show starts, at the end of the show, sometimes in the middle of the show. I have joined the Blog Talk Radio Network, and this has given me an interesting advertising opportunity. I appreciate it. It's another revenue stream for Word Balloon. I hope they're not too intrusive. I am going through the archive and putting some points in old interviews where a commercial could go. Sometimes it might sound like it happens in mid-thought, but it's me going through the 730 or so shows and putting these end cues in. So you're going to notice that you'll be finding more of those in the archive as the days and weeks go ahead. Bit time consuming. Again, I've got like 730 shows I've got to go through to make this happen. But moving forward, there will be more natural breaks. So if you listen to an old episode and you go, "Wow, that was kind of random that that commercial happened in mid thought," you know me, I sometimes jump on any dead silence and immediately start talking. So it's been a little challenging finding good places to put the spots in. I hope they're not that intrusive. I hope you understand that it's just another way to keep Word Balloon going. And I thank you for listening and hopefully, you know, patronizing some of these sponsors. A lot of them are national ads. So I don't know if they'll notice if you're going into Burger King another time or switching your insurance to Geico because of me. But it's a great opportunity for me. And so far, the response from the audience has been positive and more in terms of, hey, congratulations that you've got this opportunity versus, hey, what's with the commercials? So I'm really trying to keep them around a half hour in between spots. If a show is less than a half hour, I figure, well, you've got a spot at the beginning and a spot at the end of the show. I'm not going to put one in the middle. But usually around an hour or so, there might be one spot. If it's 90 minutes, you might hear two spots in the middle. And like I said, I'm trying to space them between 25 and 35 minutes between each spot. So hopefully, like I said, not too intrusive. And if anything, will help benefit the show and make us go further. Joining Blog Talk, there's a lot of opportunities in terms of the way I can do the show and the way I can grow the network. And as those opportunities present themselves, I will let you in on what's going on. But like I said, I know that this change has just happened in the last week or so. And, you know, I wasn't sure how quickly spots were going to be on the shows, but boom, they're there. The pre and post spots are on the entire archive. Right now I'm going through, like I said, the other shows to put spots in the middle where I feel like they're longer shows. And, you know, it's okay to do that without, impeding any enjoyment on your end. So thanks for being patient. And on to today's show, a great episode. We welcome back Jeremy Hahn, who is on a hell of a roll with not only The Beauty, which is such a great series from Image, and I don't just say that because Jeremy and Jason Hurley cast me as one of the people in the story. I'm the big police captain, but also a new series that Jeremy has two issues in on The Realm, which is a really great post-apocalyptic real world with black magic installed. Jeremy's drawn the hell out of it, and he and Seth Peck are writing it, and I love Seth. He's another one of those Kansas City guys. I always call them the Kansas City guys, and some of them are in Kansas City, but people like Jeremy aren't. Jeremy's in Joplin. But, you know, I met them all when Jeremy and B. Clay Moore were collaborating, and their extended group of friends, and Seth is certainly part of that group. I don't get to see him much because family duties kind of keep him grounded in Kansas City, but I'm always happy to see him when I do, and really excited for them for this great new series, The Realm, another great Image series. And Jeremy will tell you about it, and we'll catch up on The Beauty and get into some other great conversation as well. Jeremy Hahn, in a very unique setting, and I'll tell you about that once we get into the interview, but Jeremy Hahn today on Word Balloon. Word Balloon is brought to you by the League of Word Balloon listeners. Thank you, League, for your support and what you do in terms of keeping Word Balloon going through your subscriptions via Patreon. Much appreciated. And dividends are paying off. And you'll hear those dividends in the guests that are coming in the days and weeks ahead. Really excited about some of the guests that are coming up soon on Word Balloon, not only here in October, but also in November and going through the end of the year and on to next year. But if you want to subscribe to Word Balloon, you can do that via Patreon. And it's patreon.com/wordballoon. Or you can click on the front page of wordballoon.com. And there's a Patreon ad there that will take you to the Word Balloon site. If you can, if you think Word Balloon is worth your while, is it doing what, you know, is it worth the price of a comic book each month? If you think so and can afford it, I appreciate it. That's great. So thank you very much, League of Word Balloon listeners, for your continued support. Word Balloon is also brought to you by In Stock Trades at InStockTrades.com. There are great books on sale this week from In Stock Trades. And, man, let's throw back to a great run of Justice League of America, JLA, The Midsummer's Nightmare. And this is Mark Waid and Fabian Nicieza and Jeff Johnson and Derek Robertson and Kevin Maguire. And this was the prelude to Grant Morrison's run. But it's got the classic lineup. It's Aquaman when he still had a hook for a hand and when Superman still had long flowing hair. But it's pretty neat stuff. It's 50% off, just $12.49. You can get Ben Reilly, Scarlet Spider, back in the hood. Peter David and Mark Bagley. Ben Reilly is back, and it starts off the current run. Pretty neat stuff. It's 128 pages and 50% off. It's just $7.99. You can also get The Goddamned. Man, what a series. This is the oversized edition. R.M. Guerra, Jason Aaron, what a beautiful set. And this is the first arc, and this is the Bible raw, and it's pretty amazing. And man, I'm such a fan of Guerra's beautiful art, and of course Jason's amazing writing. And this is really very exciting. This is book one, Before the Flood, 42% off. It's just $11.59. You can also get Doctor Strange, trade paperback, volume 3, Blood in the Aether. And this is Jason Aaron, Kevin Nolo, Chris Pachalo, The Aftermath of the Last Days of Magic. And it goes back to Doctor Strange's origin, how he became the Sorcerer Supreme, and how he lost it all. This is 136 pages, 45% off. It's $10.99. Jason had just a great run on Doctor Strange, I'm telling you. Invincible Iron Man, Volume 3. This is the Civil War 2 arc, and this is when things get pretty tough as... you know, leading up to Tony's fall and the rise of Victor Von Doom as the irredeemable Iron Man. I forget which adjective. Irrepressible Iron Man? I'm not sure. But it's Brian Bendis and Mike Deodato doing some great Tony Stark storytelling. 144 pages. 45% off. It's just $8.79 at InStockTrades.com. Check out these great deals at great prices. InStockTrades.com. All right, I take you back about a month ago. It was right before New York Comic Con, and it was a beautiful Sunday afternoon, one of our last bits of warm weekends here in Chicago. But we are on the lakefront, or the Riverwalk, actually. The Chicago River, beautiful downtown. Jeremy was in town doing some signings and was like, hey, man, let's have brunch. So I picked myself up after an overnight traffic radio shift. And met Jeremy for brunch, and he's like, let's do this outside. And I'm like, good idea, man. It's beautiful out. And right on the Riverwalk, man, we just sat down. You can hear the lapping of the river in the background, but you'll be surprised at how great the sound is as Jeremy and I talk about the realm and the beauty. Here's Jeremy Hahn on Word Balloon. An unusual setting for today's Word Balloon because I'm here right on the banks of the Chicago River, part of the Riverwalk. It's very scenic, and you might have seen it in such films as Nothing in Common, where Jackie Gleason is kind of thinking to himself as he's on one of those river architectural tours of the city. But it's good timing because I'm here with my buddy Jeremy Hahn. Welcome back to Word Balloon, dude.
Hey, thanks for having me.
The Realm, you and Seth Peck. Tell me about the genesis of this new project.
Well, I've been working for Image Comics for a couple of years now on The Beauty, and it's been a fantastic experience. But I knew that I wanted to get into something new, you know, something that pushed my boundaries a little bit more artistically. While I'm still writing The Beauty with Jason Hurley and doing the covers for the book, I just wanted to do some interiors on something crazy, something that... You know, I end up drawing a lot of books that are, crime or horror, that sort of thing. And I wanted to do something that kind of scared me a little bit, you know, something that allowed me to do whatever I wanted to do the way I wanted to do it. And so I wanted to do this fantasy thing. And, we just got going on it.
Post-apocalyptic setting. Give us the 10-cent tour on the realm. How would you push it?
Yeah, basically.
How are you pushing?
Yeah. We say that it's The Walking Dead for the D&D crowd. So, you know, it's Mad Max meets Lord of the Rings. It's this, you know, our world as it is now. Suddenly, these spires blip into existence, and instead of an alien invasion or a zombie apocalypse, the thing that we lose to are all of these dragons and orcs and all of those things. And we're just trying to survive in the story.
And the setting, I'm glad we're here on the Riverwalk, because Chicago plays a big part in the story.
Yeah. It starts out in Chicago. You know, it's a road story. They're going to be traveling a lot, but it's always going to come back to Chicago in a lot of ways. When we started working on the project, we were talking about where to set it, and I was here for C2E2 at the time, and I was texting back and forth with Seth, and I was like, I know we talked about, you know, St. Louis or something like that, but like, what about Chicago? It's got such beautiful architecture, and it's such a great city. Why not mess it up with this post-apocalyptic vista? And he was all in, so we went with it.
First issue, you can see a lot of Chicago landmarks, especially if you're a native of Chicago, and of course one in particular, an infamous building that has a certain name on the front of it that reflects the occupant of the Oval Office currently.
Yeah. Well, that's not there in this world, because in the world of the realm, these spires, they kind of shift into existence in cities, in places, and the Chicago Spire just happened to land on top of Trump Tower. So in the big opening shot, the big vista where this landmark is, it's now in this the great source of evil.
Gee. I don't know if people would be used to thinking of that landmark as a great source of evil, but that's okay. You're in town because you're in the midst of a big tour for the realm.
Yeah. I am actually in the last leg of this tour now. I started out, Image has been talking a lot about doing, various tours for creators. Ryan Brown and Charles Soule did one recently for their great book, Curse Words, and they had a hell of a lot of fun on it. I mean, I they're tiring, these tours and everything, but any chance that you get to get in front of your audience, to go and meet people all over the United States and in these shops, I really had to take it personally. I wanted to do it. Unlike Charles and Ryan, I can't do a massive van tour, so I'm flying to all the... I'm cheating a little bit. But we started out in Portland at Rose City Comic Con, and then we went to L.A., and that was I was in L.A. at Golden Apple Comics on the day that it came out, which was really exciting. It was a good time there. And then for some crazy reason, I jumped all the way across the United States to Allentown, Pennsylvania, to Beachhead Comics. They're a new shop starting out, and it was the grand opening.
Oh, cool.
And that was excellent to get to. You know, doing these tours, I'm getting to experience all sorts of different shops. A lot of big shops, but like Beachhead in Allentown, it's a small shop, they're just starting out, but they have a lot of love for my work in the realm, and they were very, very excited to do it. From Beachhead, I got to go home for a couple days, which was very nice. You know, I have an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old. My boys were very, very happy to see me for a little while. It was nice. We just kind of hung out. I needed some downtime. But then I went up to Kansas City to Elite Comics. Joplin, where I live, it's about 2 hours from Kansas City. Okay. Seth lives in Kansas City, so we wanted to do something extra special for that and do like a hometown kind of thing. So we visited Elite in Kansas City, and then I hopped back on a plane and flew to Bedrock City. There's two shops in Houston, and luckily they were not too terribly affected by all the flooding down there. I was really pretty worried whenever I found out.
Sure.
You know, because we'd already agreed to do the big tour and everything, and had that on, you know, set on the schedule, and then the hurricane hit down there, and I was, you know, terribly concerned for them. But they came through fine, and I got to visit two shops while I was there. And then from there, I went to, I flew to Annapolis to Third Eye Comics, which, you know, everybody has a list of their top five comic shops that they would always love to attend. And I think Third Eye ends up on that for most of us, you know.
Oh, cool.
It's such a good shop.
And, yeah, I've never been.
Oh, it's beautiful. Steve, the owner, he's a great guy, but he just has a real understanding about the market and about what works and what doesn't, and he's kind of visionary in the way that he looks at books from Image and really got behind the realm in a big way and supported it. And then this stop, I've ended up in in Chicago and went to Challengers here in Chicago. You got to come to Challengers and visit Patrick when you're in town.
Absolutely, friend of the program,
yeah,
Patrick Handel.
Yeah, you know, I love the shop. Once again, Patrick's another visionary shop owner. You know, he really understands how the industry's working, what it needs right now. I love getting to go in and, as much as anything, just hang out and talk shop with them. So
it's been good. Smart guys. Absolutely met both of those guys. And I agree that when people get their feather up about, or their fur up about, well, both feather and fur, about the variant covers, the lenticular covers that Marvel's doing, the hip-hop cover controversy, things like that. Yeah, I went to them, and they're a great barometer in terms of being a big store. I don't know if you would consider them a big store or not, but a prominent store, at least from a Chicago standpoint. They and Chicago Comics, I think, are really the two top stores in the city proper, taking nothing away from the other great stores in the city. But yeah, I just always get like a really good, as an independent store versus a chain, you know, are you buying into this incentive program? Are you not? Why aren't you? Why are you? And yeah, they're great that way.
Well, you know, it's a hard time for comics. I mean, we're all trying to figure this out. Everybody's trying to survive, whether it's Marvel or DC or Image. I'm not going to buy into the view that comics are dying. I just think that we need to figure out how to make it better, you know?
Well, yeah, you got to adapt. You just have to adapt to whatever the current status quo is, because I agree with you. It's not dying. And, there was a guy that, and I'm not even going to name him, but he was trying to do a Kickstarter for a documentary, and he's like, I've got to save comics. And I'm like, from what? Yeah. And he's like, well, you know, it's not what it used to be. I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't see the market the way you do. It may have to change, and certainly the influence of TV and films aren't having as much of a direct impact on everything as I think a lot of the comic companies would hope. But all that said, some of the reasons why it's a tough time in comics is there's so many great books, and it's hard for a book to stand out.
Well, I feel like that, right now, we talk a lot about, being in the golden age of television. We really are.
Absolutely.
But in a lot of ways, I feel like we're kind of in a new golden age of comics, too.
Agreed.
It's hard. It's a hard market right now. I'm not going to deny that it's a pretty flooded market to a degree. I mean, there's definitely a lot of stuff coming out. But a lot of it's really, really good. Some of it's the best stuff coming out in decades.
Agreed.
And, you have to just understand that, like, there's going to be good stuff, there's going to be great stuff, and there's going to be some not great stuff. And a lot of it's coming out right now. But, I mean, Marvel's doing some really exciting things right now. DC is doing better than it has in forever. I think it's an incredibly exciting time for DC.
Rebirth has been, for the year and a half that it's existed, it's lived up to the hype.
Well, right now, Marvel's on the verge of their new thing.
We'll see with Legacy. Yeah, Legacy's just getting started as we're recording this.
Yeah, but I mean, we were just talking about it earlier, and, obviously Jason Aaron, being as involved as he's a horrible human being, but he's a damn good writer.
We love Jason.
Yeah.
Of course we do.
But I think that it's an exciting time for Marvel and DC right now. And And it's been an exciting time for Image, and that's just continuing. I mean, the response to The Realm, I think it was what people were looking for right now. I'm completely blown away by it.
Yeah, first issue sold out completely. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it was crazy. We set out on this tour, and I didn't know. I mean, we knew that it was doing pretty well. We knew that there was some anticipation for it. We knew that people were looking at it thinking, you know, that like, hey, this is going to hit pretty well. But we had no idea. And I was the Tuesday before, I was in L.A., and I started getting messages saying, is the book sold out? And I was like, why would it be sold out?
Oh, from potential readers?
From readers and from a few people I knew at shops.
Go on.
And then the next day I was at, I was at Golden Apple in LA, and we're sitting there and there was a good line for coming in and everything like that, but it wasn't insane or anything. And as the day progressed, I kept getting text messages and notifications like, the book's sold out, and I was blown away. There was no way to plan for that. Could it have sold more? Could we've had more pre-orders? Sure. But I don't think stores know anymore. And I think a lot of stores, both Patrick at Challengers and Steve at Third Eye, I know that they ordered heavy on the book. And both of those stores were sold out in no time.
That's fantastic.
And yeah, I mean, I'm incredibly, incredibly grateful for it, and pretty shocked. But
it's awesome.
Yeah.
To address that, you were telling me that for the tour, you've got a variant that is literally for the tour only, correct?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've got a couple of variants, but we did a tour exclusive variant, which is only available from the shops on the tour. So
yeah, what's left as far as the tour?
Right now we have we're going to Laughing Ogre, or I'm going to Laughing Ogre. I'm going to Laughing Ogre Wednesday.
That's in New York.
No, Laughing Ogre is in Ohio.
This coming Wednesday? Oh, so after New York Comic Con.
Okay, I'm messing up this thing. You're going to have to forgive me.
That's okay, man. He's on the tour, so it's okay.
I seriously don't know what day of the week it is.
So as we're recording, we are going into the week of New York Comic Con, which is Thursday the 5th.
Okay, yes. So there good job giving me context for this, John. I kind of thought that it was Sunday today, so you'll have to forgive me. It's Thursday, by the way. So, okay, next up is Laughing Ogre. And that's going to be on Saturday, this Saturday. So
this coming Saturday.
Yes. Yeah, I'm doing that. And then I'm at Aya Comics in upstate New York on next Wednesday.
Okay.
Following that, on the weekend, I'm going to be at New York Comic Con.
Okay.
Doing the whole shebang. And then we finish up the tour in Joplin, back at Hurley's Heroes. So,
and again, Laughing Ogre is in which city?
Ohio.
All right, it's in Ohio. Okay,
I think
it's in the city of Ohio.
I feel terrible. Maybe it's yeah.
Don't worry, bud. It's all right. And we know Wyatt Comics, of course, in Harrison, New York.
Sure. Yeah. Laughing Ogre is another one of those shops that I'm really excited to attend.
Awesome.
Even though I apparently don't know which damn city it's in.
Where are you going to be in Joplin?
At Hurley's Heroes.
Attaboy, yeah, excellent. Does he has a physical store now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, no.
He probably has for a couple of years, and
yeah,
I forgot.
He's been doing really well. We, the Hurley brothers, they're very good friends of mine. You know, obviously I co-write The Beauty with Jason Hurley. They've been retailers for years, and Hurley writes comics too. We all call him Hurley, but his name is Jason, so yeah, it's really confusing.
Yeah, but we'll call him Hurley for the purposes of it, because I think even when I've interviewed you guys, I usually call him Hurley.
Yeah.
So that's all right.
The shop's great, and it's doing really well, and I'm excited to get home. It's been a long tour. But those tour variants that we did, I tangented so much. I apologize.
Well, I want to let people know where they could possibly get it, should they hear it before you're at one of these stores.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, there aren't a lot left. I mean, basically, I told the shops, hey, you can get as many as you want. We'll print to order. And we printed 300 of them. And yeah, you know, there's definitely going to be some at Laughing Ogre, some at Aw Yeah, some at Hurley's. I don't know how many extras I'm going to have for New York Comic Con. Hopefully I'll have some, but, you know, we'll see. They're going fast. And then I did this thing, the Secret Variant, which has been a remarkable hit. Another limited edition print run, but it's in a brown paper bag. And my thing about it is, you know, don't spoil what it is inside, but it's probably my favorite cover that I've done. It's pretty great. But I'm the only way that you can get those is from me physically at a signing or at a convention.
Wow.
I don't sell them online. To be honest with you, I would love to make everybody happy and help them out. I've been getting a lot of, hey, buddy, emails, and I feel terrible that I can't do it, but I also made the rules, and that's how it's going to be, because it's about interaction.
Sure.
And, you know, I feel badly that I can't hit shops in Florida. I can't do shops in San Francisco. We only had so many stops on this tour that we could do. I was in Portland at Rose City Comic Con. I'm going to be at New York Comic Con. People can get them from me. But, I really can't, you know, just send them out. I want to make sure that I have enough for people to come and get them from me in person. And ultimately, I would like to have a few, at least by the time I get back to Joplin, you know, for my local folks that have
sure.
been waiting patiently for them. I kind of feel badly, you know. It's always like the later in the tour that things get, the fewer and fewer copies
sure.
of things you have.
That's a good problem to have.
No, it's you know, I am so grateful for all of this. There's no way that we could have planned to have a book that's been this much of a hit and that people have wanted this much. You know, you always try to, you know, go over a little bit what you hope to do. And I think that with this book, we've gone beyond what we hoped to do into what we could only dream of doing. And that kind of support means the world to me.
That's awesome, man. No, and I honestly, it's great that you, as an artist, can generate that kind of special product, and really like make it worth the while of coming to a signing and getting something from you. And hell, man, well, you know, if things go well, you know, next year maybe another tour and a different variant and stuff, and you know, follow the pattern.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know that we've already talked with a couple shops about the trade.
Maybe a book plate for the trade?
Well, or, you know, Image does these cool variant covers for trades, too.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's kind of awesome. They do store variant trades. And so we did one for, we did a couple. We did three. We did one
for Beauty?
Yeah, for the Beauty, for the trades. We did one for Comic Cave, one for Hurley's Heroes, and then one for Six City Comics, I think it is. You know, and it's fun. I mean, it's a dedicated number that a shop's doing, but you know, it's kind of an extra cool thing that they can do if they really
yeah.
want to support the project. We've already talked to Third Eye in a couple of places about doing them for the realm.
Excellent.
And if you know, if we do those, and if we, you know, I mean, it would be fun to do another tour. It takes a lot out of me. It's a lot of work.
Sure.
You know, I miss being at home. I sleep pretty well in hotel rooms, but I've been on the road for nearly a month now, and I wouldn't trade the interaction with fans and with shop owners for the world. But, you know, it's a whole thing.
Absolutely, man. No, the boys are at a good age right now, and you want to be there for those moments. Your lovely wife, Lori, and everything, your partner in crime, I think, seriously, I love that as well, that you guys are so organized, that Lori really is like a legitimate part of the business and everything, and is important with what you're doing on the business end of your comics.
Well, you know, we kind of joke sometimes about comics that really there's very little business in comics. There's not a lot of business. There's not a lot of marketing. Sometimes, I mean, you know, granted, we are all a bunch of creatives. We like making things, but you know,
you got to sell them.
You got to
look
at the
business. You want to make money.
Yeah, and Lori's fantastic at that. She's definitely worked very, very hard to keep the show on. You know. Keep things running on time. You know, and I think that part of that is just, you know, she's right now she's had to step back a little bit from going with me to as many things. I know she wanted to come on this tour with me, but she's now the executive director of our downtown organization in Joplin, and her job is she's taken on a lot of work. It's become very busy there. But, you know, we still work together on, I help her with that stuff. She helps me with my books and everything like that. It's a pretty good way to do things.
That's awesome, man. You know, and thinking of that, I remember how important she was kind of keeping the trains running on time for Bad Karma.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
You know, and forgive me, like, do you think you guys will get back to that stuff eventually, or you're not sure?
I mean, one of the things that a project like that, the tricks of it, you really have to have a dedicated amount of time. We're doing pretty well, all of us right now.
Yeah, everybody's kind of busy with their own stuff right now.
Yeah, we're pretty busy guys. I think we all love to. The trick really is just finding the extra time.
Sure.
Because it is a dedicated amount of time. And even the organizational work that Lori did on that project, you know, it's a lot of man hours. So hopefully.
I hear you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we are. Now, one interesting thing about it is there are certain themes that we set up in Bad Karma that Seth and I kind of play with. There's little things that you're probably going to see pop up in the realm that kind of are based out of the stuff from Bad Karma.
Okay.
Just little nods here and there, little things. But I like the idea that all of these universes are kind of connected loosely in a Stephen King sort of way.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Now, I should ask, too, back to the realm, do you have an idea of how many issues you want this to be?
It's definitely an ongoing. Creator-owned books right now are going back to the industry's not dying thing that we were talking about. But it's tricky. These things, you know, we work hard to produce them. We've been very fortunate with this first issue. We just got the numbers for issue 2 on the realm, and they people ordered more copies of number 2 than they did on number 1.
Excellent.
Which
fantastic.
It's a rarity. I mean,
absolutely.
Honestly,
yeah, you usually expect that drop off immediately, yeah.
Yeah, I always open that, you know, that email and kind of wince a little bit to see how many copies we've lost, how numbers have gone down on a book. So I opened the file. I winced to find that they've gone up, you know, that we sold more, and it's fantastic. While I want to do this book until the wheels fall off, basically. I'm there. We have content that we could probably do 10 or more trades worth of stuff.
Wow.
I mean, I could easily work on this for, you know, 5, 7, 10 years, whatever it is. It's a long form story. With that though, it's, you know, I mean, obviously if people are interested, you know, if people,
well, yeah.
I completely understand trade waiting. I do. I get it. You know, there's a lot coming out. There's a lot of expectation. You know, trades are, you know, it's nice to just have that all in one sitting. But right now, you know, trades come out because books sell well enough to warrant them. And, you know, I don't want to sound too greedy about expecting to make a living and feed my kids or anything like that. But, you know, as long as a book is financially viable to make in singles, then we can do pretty well and create our own books. You know, we can make a living, and that's very nice. And I love the idea of only working on creator-owned books for the rest of my career. I love the idea. I mean, frankly, if Seth and I can do it, I want to tell the realm for, you know, the next decade of my life, longer, whatever it is. We have the stories to tell. It's a pretty big world, and there's a lot of stuff that we can explore. We've got a good group of characters that we want to follow. you know, but that just depends on how the book goes.
You know, I also just wonder, because sometimes with a lot of Image books, you know, yeah, it's you're going to have to obviously make every story arc count. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, I mean, I've had this conversation with, like, Nick Spencer with Morning Glories, you know, even Tim Seeley and Norton with Revival and stuff, because of the competition and stuff. Yeah, it's going to be, you know, a matter of making every arc count, and then, you know, making people really feel like they're getting a payoff and they're getting somewhere with the story. So, yeah, I mean, it's that balance of telling the long story, but also, you know, making these arcs significant as well.
Well, I think that you have to keep that in mind. And I think you have to understand when you're making these things that it is a serialized medium. You have to keep it interesting. You have to, you know...
Leave them wanting more.
Leave them wanting more. And I think that, you know, I like a hook. I mean, yeah. I enjoy a nice hook. I enjoy a story that you know, the best comics, you know, you get a story that is a beginning, a middle, and an end within each arc, but then there's an overarching thing beyond that. There's no denying that probably the best model for it is The Walking Dead, right?
Sure.
You can look at The Walking Dead and you can see each trade tells its own story. And then there's trying to survive in this world. And there's a lot of similarities in the type of story that we've got in the realm and Walking Dead. I mean, I think that maybe things are a little crazier in the realm in the way that, you know, people might get eaten by dragons or whatever. But, instead of zombies, so I guess maybe it's not that weird. But, it's that, you know, high fantasy in the way that, like, we can tell a story about people, but then you've got wizards and you've got crazy things going on, and you know, the first arc we kind of meet the party of adventurers, and they get together and they go through their first real trial together, and each story is just going to build on that. You know, we're going to meet new people and see new places, see cities of, you know, survivors trying to make it through this crazy world, and you know, we're talking about, you know, giant, like, frost giants that have made thrones out of buildings, and, you know, hordes of dragons living in old malls, and various things as we go. And we can examine all that and tell good character stories at the same time.
Do you see, because it does have that fantasy backdrop, are you thinking about doing any sort of role-playing games and tying into that world as well with that as the backdrop?
I love that idea. We've talked about it several times. Seth and I were big fans of Dungeons & Dragons and board games and all that stuff.
Sure.
Whenever we were kids. And doing the book, because we ended up pulling out old monster manuals and various things, we both started playing role-playing games and board games again. Seth is more obsessive about it even than I am. He has an overflowing closet filled with board games right now, and it's just insane. I mean, he's got, you know, Cthulhu Wars and, all of the cool Mini or Not games and, you know, just all these amazing things. He does tons of Kickstarters. I found myself buying a lot of them, too. We both started... I'm playing a Pathfinder game right now. I can't remember if he's playing Dungeons & Dragons or Pathfinder, but, you know, we're both doing a lot of this stuff as we go. And we find ourselves talking a lot about the idea of a board game. I don't know if anybody knows anybody at cool
TSR?
Yeah, well...
or TSR exists anyway.
That's all Wizards of the Coast now.
But, oh, that's right.
Yeah. But, honestly, like... Right, our dream thing would be a, like, Zombicide or Massive Darkness style board game with all the little miniatures.
Oh, God, yeah.
Cool Mini or Not, they're the ones that do kind of, they're the, like, we love those games. They're,
sure.
They're pretty much the biggest thing out there right now. I just spent way, way too much money on their last Kickstarter thing that they did. We love those. And the idea of the possibility of having a realm version of that sort of thing, we're all in on that. We would love it. It's a lot of fun.
Let's take a break here from our conversation with Jeremy Hahn. We'll come back in a second on Word Balloon. Back to our Riverwalk conversation with Jeremy Hahn on today's Word Balloon.
Let's transition to the beauty,
okay. Because
I'm a supporting character in the beauty.
Yeah,
So I have more hair than my counterpart, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, but and we wanted to not make you quite as dashingly handsome in that because you know we didn't
take
want,
away from the
well,
story.
Well, yeah, we didn't want everybody.
I might be a victim of the beauty.
We didn't
if that
want everybody thinking that you were the beauty, you know, a beauty in it.
Sure.
So
sure.
Yeah, you got to clarify that a little bit. Yeah.
So that you know, where are you in the story right now? How many arcs in? Because you just wrapped up the third arc, I want to say?
Yeah, the third trade just came out. We are in the fourth arc now. We're actually, it should be hitting late this month, early next month, the new arc.
The beginning of the new arc.
The beginning of the new arc. It starts with number 17, which is crazy that we, our little, you know, happy-go-lucky STD book, you know, has made it 17 issues. But Matt Dow Smith.
Sure.
You know, I love his stuff.
He's a beautiful artist.
Yeah, he's drawing issue 17.
Fantastic.
We revisit Calaveras, the villain from the first arc. It's just kind of a story that takes place before that first arc, and we kind of get to see him being a horrible human being like he is. Just to learn a little bit about his character and kind of maybe... But there is a tiny glimpse of humanity in there amongst the monster. So that's going to be a one-off issue.
Okay.
Issue 17. And then the next bit, 18 through 21, Thomas Natchlik is our artist on that. And he drew the last arc. He drew the last bit of the beauty for us. The narcissist story, and we really loved having him on. He's a German guy and a hell of a talent, and he's just easy to work with. You know, he's really made time to do the book and has really worked very, very hard on it. And I've loved seeing the growth that he's had as an artist, you know, between the previous four issues and even where he is now. He's really doing some amazing things. So we're excited to have him on. That arc, actually, you'll appreciate this, that arc is about a podcaster.
Hey now.
Yeah. we kind of love the idea of some of these... some of these investigative podcasts that...
True crime, stuff like that?
Yeah,
Serial, things like that?
Yeah, actually, Serial is kind of the one that we really sort of based the idea on. You know, that first story was captivating. It was,
absolutely.
It was the best thing I think that any of us, you know, had ever you know, seen. I mean, it really...
Groundbreaking podcast.
Well, it revolutionized the medium.
Absolutely.
And then... The second arc wasn't very good.
Right.
And I think that...
Sophomore slump.
It, well...
Happens in music, happens in comics, happens in podcasts.
Absolutely. Well, and I think that, you know, one of the things that people probably don't often think about with that is they had a long time to develop the first arc. They found the right thing and then built a podcast around it. It's a compelling story. And then the second one wasn't that... But they needed something
sure.
for that second arc. I'm very curious what, you know, what else they're going to do. But we wanted to do a story about a podcaster, a podcast team that's a podcaster and his producing partner, that they...
Are they investigating the STD, basically?
Yeah, basically there's something about the STD that... They kind of get involved in. There's a big pharma aspect of it, you know, some whistleblowing kind of
sure,
stuff.
Sure. Is it an audio podcast or a video podcast?
It's an audio podcast.
Okay, go
yeah,
on.
Yeah, it's just right up your alley.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's and they get involved in it, and then in true beauty fashion, things get a little crazy. But yeah, we I don't know we. With the beauty, we always want to examine things that interest us. I love the idea of talking about podcasts. It's pretty topical, especially given, you know, like I said, how much we love Serial and all of that. A lot of, you know, we also, you know, wanted to look at the the kind of big pharma aspect of it, you know. Is it Scarelli? Is that his name? The pharma bro?
Yeah. The guy that jacked up the price of the EpiPen from, like, you know, $50 to, like, you know, $700 or whatever. Yeah. Who just, Martin Scarelli. Martin Scarelli, yep.
Yeah. He, you know, we all saw that, and we just realized, you know, exactly how, you know.
He's a Lex Luthor of our time.
Oh, yeah, well, that's giving him too much. He's a little weasel is what he is.
Yeah, but, totally.
But, you know, I mean, and you know, I recently saw there's a documentary about him, talking with him about why he did a little bit of that. And I think he looks at himself more as a Robin Hood than maybe a Lex Luthor. But I really don't know, it exposes a lot of the issues with our you know, medical system, pharmaceutical, you know, I mean, people are overpaying for things that they need to survive. People need medication for AIDS treatment. They need medication to keep, you know, diabetes in check. And, you know, children that need, you know, inhalers and various things. And the costs are through the roof on those. You know, in our little funny book, we can't, you know, we obviously are telling a story. But I wanted just to take a look at some of that and, you know, deal with it how we could.
Well, it's great to hear what's going on with the beauty, because obviously Jerry, you've been very kind in terms of our downtime when we're hanging out, and you've shared some of your ideas with me. And honestly, I put you in that same category as our mutual friends like Rick Remender and Clay Moore and others that have good high concept ideas, and you're able to translate them into entertaining comics. And I think I'm very happy with the success you're finding in the creator-owned market, not only as an artist, but obviously as a writer as well. Should you ever want to, and would you, do you think down the road you might try and pursue writing for the big two? Because as you said, you're very comfortable right now in the creator-owned world, and I'm glad, because you obviously have more control of your destiny. There aren't as many people to say no. Right. And, you know, I just talked to Fraction about that, and just on his own, you know, said, hey, it's really nice to be able to write something and not have to worry about a big corporate structure telling you, well, no, we don't want to use the character in that way. Right. But you really haven't had that opportunity yet to really write for the big two. Is that something you see yourself still wanting to do?
Right as I was leaving DC, you know, I had that great run on Batwoman and then drew some Constantine in there. I had the opportunity to write one of their little origin story pieces, and I got to write the Batwoman piece. It was a lot of fun. It really was. I don't know. Maybe this is naivete on my part. Maybe it's just that I'm not reaching out enough, I guess. But I don't know if I'm even on that radar.
And obviously you'd have to let someone know that you're interested in that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and also, like, the Bat Office has certainly changed since you were working for them.
Right.
But yeah, I didn't know if, you know, that, like I said, if is that something even, you know, again, you'd probably have to start that fire yourself, probably.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know if that'd be something you'd be interested in doing or not.
I enjoy telling stories. My stories, my own stories, are probably the most, you know, the most enjoyable to tell. The other day I was having a conversation about kind of where things have gone recently with the big two. With you're seeing some real innovative stuff happening right now, not just rehashing of kind of what's come before. Because I think it's very hard. Like, look, we have what, 60 years of real, like, a lot of mass, you know, fantastic stories and comics. I mean, there's
well, 70 for DC and about, you know, 50 plus for Marvel. So yeah, somewhere in between there, if you count the big two.
Right. But every story that's been told has been told, kind of, in a lot of ways. So figuring out how to restructure things and do new things and have fun and still stay true to characters. I mean, you know, like, do I want to read, you know, the Batman story that I want to tell? I want to tell a story about the detective Batman. You know, I want to tell a story about the Batman I love. How do I do that in a way that's kind of got a new spin? I think I could do it. But, you know, yes, to answer your question, I think I would like to do, you know, a little stick and jab here and there kind of thing. Do I see myself completely, you know, stepping in and working my way up the rung to try to consistently write for the big two? Probably not. But I love those characters, you know. I've said several times that, you know, if I could come back and, you know, do a short couple issue run on a Bat book, writing and drawing it, you know, I would, and I, you know, I stand by that. I think that there are definitely characters in at both companies that I would like to take a stab at. I think I could do a good job at it.
It's interesting because I remember years ago talking about this with Phil Hester, and I love his phrase because he was talking to another one of our mutual friends, Jai Nitz, about all this, and he said, "Let's stop chasing Batgirl. Let's do our own thing."
Right.
And obviously that is what you're currently doing and stuff. And it's fun to hear the people that are done with that. Like I said, Fraction is a classic example of that. That, you know, has done his time and really has, it seems like, based on my last conversation with him, that he's really not interested in going back to that realm. I'm hearing rumors that Hickman might be thinking about going to DC and doing something. That'll be interesting if that pans out or not. I am curious about that. And, like, or another example would be, like, you know, Fraction and Zdarsky doing so well on Six Criminals, and suddenly Marvel recognizing what Chip can do as a writer.
Right.
And now he's getting his opportunities. And it's, again, it's that interesting contrast. They're both working on Sex Criminals. Matt's totally done with the big two, and Chip's like, "Hey, I'm finally getting a chance." So, you know, it's fun to play with the toys, and obviously it sounds like you have that same basic feeling.
Right. Well, you know, there's a lot of fun out there to be had. I think that it just depends on what you're wanting and how it works for you at the time. I mean, if I'm busy writing, you know, three books of my own,
sure,
I'm not going to come in and do something else. And the timing has to be right. And you know, there are a lot of people out there that are absolutely hungry to be, they absolutely want to write for the big two. That is their end goal. I love the idea of doing it, but that's secondary to my other goals. You know, I like making my own things. I like owning my own things.
Sure.
You know, we have wrecked the world and kind of then stepped over here and told other stories in it. We've we've killed characters that are beloved. We've done everything exactly the way we wanted to do it. You know, I told a non-linear story in that. You know, in the realm, we have characters that already, even with the first issue, people love, and I'm so going to kill the hell out of them. it's going to happen. I'm going to break hearts, and that's just the way those stories go. And there's, like you said, you know, there's not that oversight. There's not, you know, we do things the way we're going to do them. You know, it's not working by committee. And I think that when you're writing stories at Marvel and DC, that's the game you sign on for.
Right.
Like don't throw a fit because you're told, "I'm sorry, you know, look, you know, Spider-Man would not eat someone's face off." You know, it's like, well, don't pitch a story about Spider-Man eating somebody's face off. That's just not going to...
Sure.
That's, you know... Do your thing over here your way, and then if you go and tell a big two story, understand that that's, you know, you have to do it the right way.
Well, there's a set of rules.
Right, right.
I understand. Absolutely, man. Well, again, give us the timeline of when what's coming out and when. So we've got two issues right now. Has issue two of The Realm come out? You guys gave me the opportunity to read the first two issues already.
Yeah, everybody's going to be jealous of you right now.
Clearly.
For that. so you're going to get lots of "Hey, spoil this for me" emails.
I'm used to the emails.
Yeah. So. Yeah. issue 2 comes out October 18th.
Great.
So in 18 days, right? October 1st.
Yes,
today?
We're on October 1st right now.
Yeah. That's going to be out then, and we're on a monthly schedule with it. I am currently deep into number 5.
Great.
On the artwork.
That's great, man.
We are writing issues 6 and 7 right now.
Fantastic.
So excited about issue 6. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. But
will that be included in the first trade, or is it the first issue after the first trade?
No, 1 through 5 is the first trade.
Okay.
We kind of wanted to, with issue 6, we're following, it's still in the timeline. You know, this is a very straight story. It's just,
okay.
You know, there's not a lot of digression. Well, there's some flashing back at points, but, like, there's not a lot of digression. We're not going to do an entire issue that takes place years before or anything right
got
now.
It. Okay.
But it follows two fan favorite characters from issue, you know, people are already very, very excited about. Ben, the masked man from the end of the first issue, and Rook, our helmeted character. She's our little, she's like a cat, kind of. She's a lot of fun. But we're going to follow the two of them, and it's going to be fun for just them chasing off after somebody doing a thing. But that's going to be issue 6. And issue 7 is just going to jump right back into the main story. You know, I'm planning on drawing every single issue of the book.
Sure.
I don't want to take a break. I'm probably pushing myself at times too much with this, but there's a lot of drawing that goes into this book. But I love it. So yeah, October 18th on that issue, on issue 2, and then like I said, I can't remember the exact date for the next arc of the Beauty, but it's late October, early November.
Okay.
It's coming right up.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now again, we mentioned the signing tour. Other conventions for the end of the year, or is New York the last show for the year?
I'm doing New York. I'm doing a little in November. I'm doing a little show in Conway, Arkansas.
Okay.
It's a little library con.
Nice.
Comic Conway.
Excellent.
I like those library cons.
Me too, man.
No,
that's where you're getting the new readers.
Truly, it really is, and you know.
Libraries are really important. They're going through a change and a transition.
And they're doing things, you know, right now they are excited about the medium. They get it, you know.
Yes, they do.
I've had more librarians come up to me and talk to me about the Beauty. And I'm like, you know, it's kind of like a torrid little book, and they're like, no, that's exactly, you know,
that's why they like it.
Yeah, we have an audience that loves that.
That's excellent.
And they understand comic books for kids, they understand comic books for teens, they understand comic books for adults, and they know how to push it. And it's a great little thing. And I love these little library cons. They're small, but they are making a big difference. I just did one in Springfield, Missouri. And it was fantastic.
No,
it was a good time.
I completely agree. I went to the ALA convention here in Chicago in June.
Yeah.
And it was great to see the librarians and also the publishers and them. And it's just like me at a Diamond Summit where I try to be a fly on the wall and kind of listen in on the conversations and not take away the publisher's time talking to me if there's a librarian that's waiting to talk to him. Because, yeah, man, just like a local store, they're on the front lines. They are supporting the product and getting them in the hands of new readers. And you're right, in all ages, and they get it. Yeah. And it's really, really, I again, as I'm sure you had the same experience growing up, you know, libraries were a huge part of our childhoods and need to be. And that's, you know, I worry, as much as I love the convenience of digital books and things like that, I don't want the library system to go away. And I'm so glad that they are investing in these live events and making the library more of a salon.
Right.
And a place for us to all get together and share what we love about books beyond just checking them out individually.
Oh, yeah. You know, in Joplin, we just got a brand new library. And they are looking at it the exact same way, as a salon, as a place, a great meeting place,
sharing ideas, introducing ideas. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know. And having good talks and,
yep.
And I think the opposite side of the comics are dying thing is that this is the best time for all sorts of media, whether it's, you know, my friend Alex Grecian, you know, he's a novelist, and
Proof wasn't Proof his
Proof.
I was going to say I wanted to confirm that I remember that. People might remember Proof, a wonderful book.
Yeah, it was great. He and Riley Rossimo worked on that.
Yes.
And then they did Rasputin recently for Image Comics. Was about 2 years ago, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, obviously,
both Riley and Alex are great talents. But, you know, right now, Alex is working primarily as a novelist. And, you know, everybody's saying, Prince dead. And it's not. It is. You know what? There is new stuff all the time. And as a novelist, you know, he reads voraciously and is constantly turning us on to new good stuff that's out there, and it just has to find its audience, and people are hungry for it. People like niche things. I'm gonna do a quick aside, but take it for a second. But one of the things that I did when we were building the marketing for the Realm was I had the opportunity to work with some friends of mine, Luke Schaefer from the band Me Like Bees. And Me Like Bees is they're indie darlings, really. They're an indie band from Joplin, from the Midwest, kind of Kansas City centric area, but they're wonderful. And whenever, you know, I'd known them for years, and I was originally going to do a tour poster for them, and we kind of talked about it, and the timing wasn't quite right. There wasn't enough time to get it done and published in time for what they were wanting to do. I had kind of an ambitious, fun idea for what I was wanting to do for it. And so that didn't work out. But later we said, you know, we got to work together. You know, we're guys from a small town. We got to do something. And we kept saying that over and over again, you know. And it was always like me drawing something for them. And then the Realm, I was starting work on the Realm, and we were talking about it again. We were having a drink and doing the, hey, we should work together thing. And I was like, well, actually, I've got this new comic book that I'm making. Would you want to do like a opening credits TV show kind of theme song for it? And he's like, yeah, sure, absolutely. So he stepped away, wrote this song, The River Divides, and it was everything that I kind of wanted this song. Like, you know, I imagined in my head, like, a Netflix TV series, what the theme song would be, or an HBO show or an Amazon show. And it's The River Divides. It's this thing that he wrote. And so we hit it off, and we decided we were going to do it. And then immediately after that, they were like, well, how about an EP rather than just a single?
Wow.
And so we decided we were going to do 5 songs, one that's released with each issue of The Realm. We got a thing in the back of the comic book for it. You can go to realmcomic.com and stream it for free. The River Divides, you can watch on, or so you can listen to it on iTunes. You can buy it on iTunes right now. And then we had so much fun with it, I ended up directing the music video for the River Divides. And that was a whole experience. It was a hell of a lot of fun. Took a long time. It took about a month of just, you know, fitting schedules together.
Yeah, I would imagine,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, you know, a lot of, you know.
In between tour dates, I'm sure, for the band.
Right. Exactly that. We worked around tour dates. They had a small tour right in the middle of between the shoot and the reshoot. But we edited the whole thing and got it together. And I love the process of making that. I love, you know, taking it back to, like, the excitement over things right now. The excitement, you know, people, you know, yes, you can get digital music. Yes, you can do that. But we're actually talking right now about doing a special edition release of the first trade of the Realm. Doing a special edition release that is maybe a hardcover of the first arc with like a vinyl, the full EP, because people love that stuff. That excites us. We're at least going to, whenever the trade comes out, be definitely releasing the EP digitally and on CD. But I'm really pushing for this hardcover and vinyl combo. I think that it could be a big deal.
That's fantastic. And you showed me the video, and as I told you, it was, and I mean this in the best possible way, it was very Logan-esque.
Oh,
because it is that post-apocalyptic kind of world. And no, it's a great companion to the realm, and I think that's a great idea. I know Jeff Lemire collaborated with, and I forget his name, and it's terrible, but the guy from Poydog Pondering up in Canada and stuff, and they did a very serious, real-world subject about the Indigenous people of Canada that were subjected to some pretty harsh things, and one story in particular, and it was amazing, and, you know, the guy from Poydog wrote beautiful music to it, and Jeff did the comic, and it's incredible. So, no, I love this intersection between music and comics. And Jesse Blaze Snyder did a bunch of really inventive songs with his Black Light. Was it Black Light District? I forget the name of his arc of individual stories, but he wrote some really great songs for that. He created some interesting videos with the art. Phil Hester, I know, was one of the artists that he used for that whole thing. So it's, I think that's really creative, inventive. It puts both of your audiences together, and hopefully it turns some readers into fans of the Bees, forgive me.
Me Like Bees.
Me Like Bees, and some Me Like Bees fans might become Jeremy Hahn comic fans, too.
Well, yeah, and it's just... Ultimately, it's also just damn good music, you know.
They're a great band.
They really brought the rock and roll to this. I can't wait for people to read or to listen to the second song that'll be out the same day as issue two. It's called "Long Gone," and it is fun, scratchy rock and roll. I love it.
Very cool. Well, we'll put up the link for the YouTube video for the first song and everything up in the post for the podcast as well. But, dude, nice going. As I always say, continued success. Keep up the great work. And I appreciate you letting me behind the curtain sometimes to get the inside dope on this stuff, and also sharing with the Word Balloon listeners as well. So keep up the good work, Jeremy Hahn. I think you're kicking ass.
Oh, thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
That's Jeremy Hahn. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation. I hope you pick up The Realm, now on sale from Image, and also The Beauty. And Jeremy's got some great stuff coming up, man. I'm so proud of him. Jeremy, B. Clay Moore, I'm trying to think of that first year. Jeff Parker, certainly Bendis and Rucka, but they kind of came later on. Jeremy was one of those first guys that I really became good friends with on the comic book scene, and I really loved his art. And I think about it now, 12 years later, where he is, and Clay and Seth Peck and all of these guys, Seeley and Norton and stuff, it really felt like I've watched them grow and become big, important players in comics. And it's been a pleasure being on the ride with them. And I really do appreciate that they still like what I do and are still willing to come back and be my friends. And that's wonderful, because it's a great community. And I'm happy to be adjacent to it. I always like to say I'm not. It's just like with sports. I always used to say I don't work in sports, but I cover sports. I don't work in comics. I cover comics. And I hope you enjoy this coverage that we're bringing you here at WordBalloon.com and now on the Blog Talk Radio Network. And man, there's just nothing but blue skies ahead. And I know I sound like a Pollyanna saying it, but I mean it. It's really been an incredible year. In a lot of ways, and coming out of the ashes of what was a very rough end to 2016 for me, it's things are looking up, and I see momentum, and you guys are a part of it, and women, and I thank you for listening to Word Balloon, supporting Word Balloon, even through simply listening. You're all part of the League of Word Balloon listeners, and I appreciate that support. Word Balloon today was brought to you by the League. Thank you again. If you want to subscribe to Word Balloon, you can do that by going to patreon.com/wordballoon. And if you click on the Patreon ad at wordballoon.com or go to that URL, that's how you can subscribe to Word Balloon. If you can spare it, if you think Word Balloon is worth your while, and we've been giving you decent coverage and interesting entertainment, then I hope you'll join us here at wordballoon.com. Word Balloon is also brought to you by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com, where you can look at things like Weapons of Mutant Destruction. This is an interesting little combination of Weapon X and the Totally Awesome Hulk. This covers Weapons of Mutant Destruction Alpha, the Weapon X run of issues 5 and 6, and then the Totally Awesome Hulk from 20 to 22. It's written by Greg Pak and drawn by Mahmoud Ansar. And I'm sure I'm saying, Mahmoud. I want to say I'm saying it right. He's one of my guys. I haven't seen him in a while. Every time I go by his table at cons, he's too busy, so I don't want to bug him. But this is a gorgeous book and a really great story, 144 pages. It's 45% off, $9.89. You can get Injustice 2, hardcover volume 1. Tom Taylor is back on Injustice, where he belongs. At one time, and this was the best Justice League book out there. I don't think the quality is diminished. I think, luckily, the other Justice League books have regained their stature, and now Injustice stands alongside proudly the other great Justice League stories. But this, of course, really, really exciting. What a great alternate universe take on the DC universe. The game is great, and it's always good when the comics are almost as good as the game. I mean, the game is its own thing, but that's because of Tom Taylor. And in this arc, of course, Bruno Redondo, it's Injustice 1 through 6, the first six issues of the new volume. It's 42% off, $14.49. Is there any other? I want to see if we can get some other indie books in there. There's Golgotha from Top Cow, our buddy Matt Hawkins, Brian Hill doing the art. This is, let's see here. In the near future, a group of scientists and military operatives are sent on an interplanetary mission to develop Earth's first off-world colony. I would imagine trouble ensues. 128 pages for this. It is 42% off, $9.85. You know, we got to get Matt Hawkins back on Word Balloon and talk about some new stuff with him. But these are just some of the great books that are on sale right now at InStockTrades.com. Don't forget, if your orders are $50 or more, you'll receive free shipping. They make it easy because they give you great books at great prices. InStockTrades.com. Thanks for listening to Word Balloon. Thanks again for you listening to the commercials, and I really appreciate it. There's one more coming up at the end of this show, but we'll be back in a couple days with a new episode of Word Balloon. Until then, Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions, copyright 2017.